This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
The Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets, the Atlanta Hawks, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Dallas Mavericks, Paolo Banchero, Mark Williams, AJ Griffin, Jake LaRavia, Wendell Moore Jr.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's the Adam Gold Show. Congratulations, you made it to Friday. I am Adam Gold. Dennis Cox is here. Dennis actually has help today. What is this sorcery?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know who this is.
Well, we'll figure it out. We will figure it out. And maybe we won't. I don't know. It was a busy night for Duke, busy night for the ACC. Darian Sebron found a place to go. Mm-hmm. Jake LaRavia was drafted in the first round. Alondis Williams, like Darian Sebron, maybe got a good spot, found a good spot. Two-way deal, I believe, for both players in place. So more than likely spend a good chunk, if not the entire season, in the G League. But that's okay. That's the entry point for a lot of players to the NBA now. And I think they both have professional futures. So should be good for them. But Duke had a bunch of players go. It was an interesting draft. Paolo Banchero's suit was, it's hard to even... I'm not sure I'm qualified to give it a grade.
It was purple.
It was very purple.
It was very purple.
Was homage to Prince. Was that it? I don't know, man.
Sure.
It was very, very purple, and good for him. It was a good night for those guys. They all worked hard. They deserve it, and should be a lot of fun. Trevor Keels goes. I didn't win my wager, my Trevor Keels wager, but he did go probably to the worst possible place. He went to the Knicks in the second round, but it is what it is. Mark Williams goes to the Hornets. We'll explain all that in a few, but that was certainly interesting. So another NBA draft gone. I have trivia questions. Can we give stuff out today? I didn't clear this with management, Dennis. But
well, they're all gone today.
Oh yeah, because there's a local music festival.
Yeah,
which you can still buy tickets to.
Sure.
Actually, doesn't start for another 58 minutes if you're listening in town.
Yeah,
that station's music festival is today in Durham.
Yep,
invite
Durham
all of you.
Park.
Yeah, invite all of you to go out there.
I'll be there tonight.
Oh, are you? Who are you going to see tonight?
A big band that we're going to go see. We're going to see Delta Ray, but Steve King and Rangers is the big headliner tonight.
Steve King and Rangers.
Steve King and Rangers.
They play in the. In the Wales first division.
Yes.
Is it Rangers or Scotland's first division?
Sure.
I think it's Scotland's first division.
Okay.
I'm such a big soccer fan now.
It's
Is it annoying?
No, it's just
I'm just curious.
The level of like your knowledge on English soccer.
Before we get into all of this, can I just say that the number one thing that I read sports-wise right now, I'm not kidding. I am reading about transfers every day. Every day.
Oh, in pro soccer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, not the transfer portal.
Not the portal?
We don't have transfer portal news every day. The transfer window, this is the time, man. We've only got... There's about 6 weeks before the Premier League's first matches. Match week starts August 5th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fired up. Liverpool at Fulham. Craven Cottage, man. We're ascending. But I am. I'm completely, every day I read the latest transfer news. Every single day.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. I already miss Sadio Mane, as I'm sure a lot of people do. He left Liverpool to go to Bayern Munich.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I don't know why Sade decided he wanted to leave, but he left. They replaced him with Darwin Nunez from the U.S. national team. He's from Uruguay, and the U.S. national team just played them in Kansas City, 0-0 draw. But he's a dynamic scorer. I think they paid $100 million in a transfer fee transfer. That's a lot. That seems like a lot.
That's the thing that always blows my mind. Is
yeah, they sell players. Nobody trades. We don't do in the Premier League. We don't say we'll give you Sadio Mane and you give us a defenseman and a draft pick. That ain't the way it works.
Yeah.
Right? No, man. We just sell players.
This is a protected pick.
Gross.
I know. That, right? Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing.
Right? It's a little too much like history. Anyway.
Buying contracts.
Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they buy the contract. And a lot of times they'll just renegotiate another deal. But Mane had 1 year left on his deal with Liverpool, and now he's with Bayern Munich. The team that always wins the Bundesliga, because in many of those other European leagues, frankly, there's only one or two teams that are worth anything. Mm-hmm. Although you could argue that this year in the Premier League, there were only two teams that were worth anything, because Liverpool and Man City were heads and shoulders above anybody else. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. All right, it's Friday. It's Tangent Friday. No, it's not. Let's start. I'm sure there are enough people out there that are over my my Premier League transfer takes. All right, let's get right to it. NBA draft last night. You know the Orlando Magic never worked out Paolo Banchero?
Really?
Right, they never did. They worked out Chet Holmgren, and they worked out Jabari Smith. And my guess is, and I applaud them for this, obviously there is the sleight of hand, but I applaud them for this because they had apparently seen enough from watching, 35 games at Duke to know that, yeah, that's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I'm not even saying that they made the right choice. I said before that he has the best body, the NBA body. He has the best skill set to go along with the body because Chet Holmgren doesn't have the body and Jabari Smith doesn't have the skill set. I just don't know if he's ever going to be quick enough to be, you know, great, but donned in the most beautiful purple suit you've ever seen, the Magic made Banchero the first overall pick. Here's Seth Greenberg on what Orlando's getting.
This was the safest pick in terms of, look, 6'10", 255, highly skilled, can play in isolations, great passer, Chris Webber-type vision and feel. As a passer from the front court, obviously not committed defensively. He's a guy that's going to probably score 18 points a game next year.
Interesting comp there to Chris Webber. I don't know if he compared him to Chris Webber, but that is an interesting comp because they are similar players. Webber did not have elite quickness. Webber was a brilliant passer and a very good rebounder and a really good player. And I actually think Banchero, who has more of an offensive game in terms of putting the ball on the floor, facing up, I think he can stretch it out to beyond the three-point line at the NBA level eventually. I mean, he can hit that shot now in college, but he'll need to improve it greatly. Only shot 33% or something like that from three at Duke. But all of those things are on the table for Paolo Banchero to improve and become good at the NBA level. So, I don't know, maybe he's going to be a better player than Chris Webber. And Webber was an outstanding player. Here's when Banchero found out he was the pick.
Probably 20 seconds before the pick, Mike told me, Mike Miller, my agent, you know, looked at me and said, congratulations. And, yeah, so it was real quick, but, you know, it was worth it. It was worth it.
I'm sure it was. Second time in 4 years Duke has had the number one overall pick. Second time in 4 years that Duke has had the number one overall pick. That was, of course, Zion Williamson. Coach K broke off a Zoom call. I don't know if you saw this to Paolo, although it wasn't live. I think it was a recorded call. Chet Holmgren goes second to Oklahoma City. Jabari Smith next to Houston. Hornets drafted Jalen Duren, big man from Memphis. Then treated him like your golf clubs on when you're going on a trip. So he was sent to New York and then Detroit. Mm. That's what happens. If you go on a trip and you take your golf clubs, they are certain to end up in Topeka, even if you're not going there. That's
sounds
just
like from personal experience.
No. It just happens. I know a lot of people that travel their golf clubs go somewhere else. Why it is with golf clubs, I don't understand. It's a good thing you can rent clubs at the course. Anyway, two picks later, the big man from Duke, Mark Williams, got the call from the ultimate Tar Heel, Charlotte's owner, Michael Jordan.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we're excited. Welcome. I know you're excited. Big night for you. So with your mom and dad.
Yep.
So everybody's excited, right?
Yep. They're all excited.
You know, Summer League, you know, the work starts real soon, right?
For sure.
And I know you're up to it. So welcome aboard, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, and there's somebody else here that wants to say
hello
to you, okay?
All right.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Congratulations, man. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. I hope you get in the gym, start working on your game, and make a difference.
Yes, sir. Right away.
And even though you're a Dukie, I take pride in that game. We did draft you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I had to put the beef aside.
All right, my brother. Well, good luck, all right?
Thank you.
even though you're a Dukie, I take pride in that we didn't really catch the rest of that. And then Mark Williams said, we'll set the beef aside. Very nice. A.J. Griffin went 16th to Atlanta. Wendell Moore to the Timberwolves, I believe, at number 26. Trevor Keels to the Knicks in the second round at number 42. Sorry to hear that for Trevor. Glad he got drafted. Sorry it was the Knicks. First time. Five players drafted off one college team. No, it was the second time, I think. Maybe. Kentucky might have had five in 2013.
Yeah, that or 2010. Maybe the Anthony Davis.
Well, no. Cousins. Well, yeah, that was.
Was that 13?
12 or 13.
Yeah, somewhere around then.
Yeah, it was Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah, they went 1-2.
They did go 1-2. I think there were five players drafted off that team. But it's first time Duke's had five players. Second time Duke had four players drafted in the first round.
Come on, Duke.
There you go. And I'm going to say this out loud because I saw it on Twitter constantly. Even though I don't subscribe to the theory that this is a big deal. Five NBA draft picks did not win the national championship. I'm not as surprised as some of you about this. They did get to the Final Four. And mm-hmm. I will also say that had North Carolina's players opted for the draft, Armando Bacot probably would have been a late first or a second round pick. I'm surprised Brady Manek. We have to find out where did Brady Manek, he didn't get drafted.
No, he didn't.
Give me Brady Manek on my team. I don't even have a team. Let's start a team. And give me Brady Manek. 6'10 guy who could bust shots. Give me Brady Manek. And I think Caleb Love would have probably gotten drafted in the second round. 6'4 guy with unlimited range and no fear at all. So I think that would have changed. Either way, Duke got to a Final Four. What are we whining about? So we'll talk more about that with Kanata Edwards. Nada the Scribe who joins us at the bottom of the hour. All right, we have matchups in the ACC Big Ten Challenge announced. It's very exciting. North Carolina will be at Indiana, the preseason favorites, I believe, in both leagues. That should be fun. Ohio State at Duke. Oh, my gosh, Duke at home again. Yeah, like every other year. Wake at Wisconsin. Don't know if that's going to be a good game or not. I can't tell you. NC State not participating. I will say that this is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
For this reason. Not because State might lose, but because we don't know. State looks like they might have a decent roster based on all the players that Kevin Keats has brought in the transfer portal. That's the transfer thing that I don't really pay close attention to because it's not Premier League soccer. But the matchup, because of where NC State finished, and they finished last, so they're not in, but any matchup would have been somebody dopey like Rutgers. Actually, no, Rutgers was good last year. They made the NCAA tournament. It wouldn't have even been Rutgers. I can't even tell you who was really, but it might have been Nebraska again. I don't know. We want to play good teams. So this will give NC State some scheduling flexibility. And as somebody joked on Twitter, can't wait for that matchup against Arkansas Pine Bluff.
Yes.
I mean, find the line. Find the line. All right.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast. Tonight could be the final NHL game of the season.
Let's do that hockey.
Thank you very much, Chance the Rapper. Colorado Avalanche on the precipice of winning their first Stanley Cup in 21 years. They lead the series 3-1 going into Game 5 against the twice-defending Tampa Bay Lightning. Avs rallied from a goal down to force overtime in Game 4. They won it 3-2. Nazem Kadri scoring his first in his first game back after missing about a month, having surgery on his thumb. You might recall that the goal was somewhat controversial. Colorado had too many men on the ice, as the video showed us. You know what I didn't mention yesterday? The funniest thing.
What's that?
I don't know if you saw this. I mean, I didn't really care enough to go look at the sheet myself. Somebody tweeted out the event summary. Or the game summary, the official NHL game summary, okay, where they have goal scorer, assist, and then they tell you who was on the ice, all the players who were on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
In Tampa, they actually listed all 7 players that were on the ice for Colorado.
Whoops.
That is so petty. So petty.
I love it, though.
I mean,
I'm for it.
Fantastic.
I'm for it.
So petty. Anyway, Remember, after the game, John Cooper, the Lightning's head coach, didn't really want to talk about it. It was too raw. He said, "Talk to me tomorrow." Well, during the off day, he addressed it sort of.
I would say 99% of the time, the guy going on the ice jumps on first. That's why they have that little kind of safe zone, because there's only 2 doors and guys hop over, and so that happens all the time. It's when you know, the reason there's a rule is if you gain a significant advantage, and that's probably what happened there, but it's that happens like all the time, and line changes, it's an inexact science.
It absolutely is. He definitely was not as adamant that they were screwed as he was without really talking about it much after game 4, but it was clear that Kadri was coming on the ice for MacKinnon. Kadri would not have been where he was were he not on the ice a little early, so it did impact the goal. Regardless of that, I got this from an NHL insider today.
Mm-hmm.
Irony. Tampa Bay is the worst team in the league with changing early, and they always get away with it. To me, it's sort of like when Washington or Boston sets offensive picks
Yeah.
Right off a face-off.
Oh, clearly.
It's so obvious that they're setting screens, and you can't do that because it's, you know, like interference. But look, whatever you can get away with, you are going to do. All right, we have Live Golf News. Thank you very much. All right, it's not really about Live so much. Like, we don't have any new players today that are jumping. I will say that I think we will have more players on Monday. They announced their field for Portland next week.
Okay.
And there are three open spots, which, very similar to before the week before the first tournament, where they had five extra spots open. There will be players. They're leaving spots open for people they believe will either jump, and they have some kind of fallback players, including a bunch of players who were in the first event that will get bumped out of this spot because Reed, DeChambeau, Koepka, Pat Perez, those four players from the U.S. Tour, Abe Anser, five players from the U.S. Tour who were not in the first event, all moved over. So I actually wrote about this. Andy Ogletree, 2019 U.S. Amateur Champ, mm-hmm. went to Georgia Tech,
yeah,
has been on the PGA Tour sort of for 3 years, doesn't really have good status, but he's the U.S. Amateur Champion and has played in a bunch, turned pro and has played in a bunch of PGA Tour events, has earned less than $40,000 on the PGA Tour in his career. He's not in this field. Yikes.
Oh.
Yikes. Look, the LIV Tour is not for the Andy Ogletrees of the world.
No.
Sorry about this, Andy, but it ain't for you. So you made the decision because money, I guess. It's certainly not opportunity unless those three spots don't get filled and Greg Norman said, well, you're on. Andy, maybe he has golfers listed alphabetically by first name in his phone. And maybe he'll go, Andy, we need you in Portland. And Andy will take the $120,000 guarantee simply for showing up because that is last place money, $120,000. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, really.
It's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. Anyway, here's the news. The DP World Tour, which is formerly known as the European Tour, has banned all LIV Tour players from playing in the Scottish Open. Now, that tournament is in 2 weeks. Keep in mind, all of the LIV Tour players were allowed to play in this week's event in Germany. The DP World Tour said it's a complicated issue, blah, blah, blah. You can play this week. And eight of those players are in the field in Munich. It's a fairly big event for the DP World Tour. And Billy Horschel, by the way, went over there and played it from the U.S. Tour. But eight of those players from LIV are playing in this week's event in Europe. None of them are in the top 10 right now, but there are like three in the top 20. But there are only two rounds in, and heck, one of them could win. And the reason those players want to play in this event is because it's official World Golf Rankings points, which they are not getting for playing in the LIV series. And I'm not getting into the debate. This is simply a news segment. But here's why they are not being allowed to play in the Scottish Open. And by the way, next week there is another DP World Tour event, the Irish Open, and they have not been banned from that.
Okay.
So they can play in the Irish Open, as far as I know, according to the news I read. But they can't play in the Scottish Open because it is co-sanctioned, sponsored by the PGA Tour. Yes, and the PGA Tour has banned all LIV players from playing in their tour. But through a working agreement between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour this offseason, the U.S. Tour is jacking up the purses for two events, including the Irish Open, by the way. So the PGA Tour is sort of getting a thumb in the eye here by the DP World Tour, but they're dealing with it. But they are co-sponsoring the Scottish Open, including Genesis, the same company that sponsors Tiger's event in Los Angeles. They are sponsoring the Scottish Open. I don't believe there is a U.S. sponsor for the Irish Open. Anyway, so the U.S. Tour has made a significant contribution financially and in terms of support for the DP World Tour, which really has been struggling over the years to maintain sponsors and to maintain high purses. And on that tour, there's a lot of players on that tour that want that tour to embrace LIV. Not kidding. This is a very complicated issue. The DP World Tour has enough players on it. I'm not saying it's a majority, but there is a pretty good vocal group of players that want the tour to create an agreement with the Saudis. Again, we're just talking about news. I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong.
It's kind of almost like a merger, or just basically an agreement to play?
At the very least, that.
Okay.
At the very least. The DP World Tour, then the European Tour, used to have the Saudi Invitational, used to be part of the European Tour.
Yeah.
And this year they said, nope, not part of it. We're not sanctioning it. It became an Asian Tour event, but a lot of European Tour players played it. Okay. And a lot of U.S. Tour players played it too. I mean, tons of U.S. players played it. So, not making any editorial comments. It's golf and they paid a lot of money. But this year there's a blurring of the lines between the U.S. and the European tours because the U.S. is trying to help the European tour sort themselves out. And I don't know how this is going to play out. But the Scottish Open, really the DP World Tour had no choice. The U.S. made that tournament possible. So the DP World Tour is going to abide by the ban. So LIV Tour players can't play in it.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.